And grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, as we gather on this Christmas Eve, we gather around that amazing historic event as we just heard it read in the gospel reading this evening. And did you hear it, that message from the angels? I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Good news, great joy. Among Norwegian playwright Henrik Ibsen's many plays, one was titled Emperor and Galilean, and it was written in 1873, and the play depicts the life of Julian, who ruled the Roman Empire in 361 to 363 AD, shortly after Constantine. And remember, Constantine had established Christianity as the state religion of that time. But Julian wanted to change things. He tried to replace the new established state religion of Christianity and change it to the old worship style in the empire of the Greek and Roman gods. Well, this play was 8 hours long. Probably no surprise why it's never been produced, right? Imagine sitting in an 8-hour play. But Ibsen, in the play, he tracks the emperor's degeneration from being a young Christian to becoming a pagan Caesar. At one point in the play, Ibsen has Julian say these words: "Have you looked at these Christians closely? They brood their lives away. They're unspurred by ambition. The sun shines for them, but they don't even see it. The earth offers them its fullness, but they desire it not. All their desire is to renounce and suffer, that they may come to die." Wow, that's pretty joyful, isn't it? Well, the description of gloomy Christians lingered perhaps with Ibsen himself. He was probably going through a similar event in his own life. But today, critics of the Christian church frequently point out our lack of joy. Among the millennials, they charge Christians with being quick to judge, ever ready to tell people what they're doing wrong. I once heard a woman describe her pastor in this way: "He's so solemn, he looks like he stepped out of a NyQuil commercial." Kind of sad, isn't it? Where's the joy? And then this one's kind of heart-wrenching. A pastor's 8-year-old son once asked his dad on the way to church on Christmas Eve, "Dad, are you going to let us enjoy Christmas this year? Or are you going to try to explain it all again?" Ouch, that one kind of hurts. I'm a pastor, I have kids. Well, no wonder the New Testament calls upon us Christians to rejoice no less than 73 times. Well, some of us might say that, wait a minute, but we Christians have a right to be miserable. After all, we've been sensitized to sin. We know what sin is, and we know the influence that that has on our lives. And not only that, but we see sin all around us. We see people making bad decisions. We see children starving and Christians suffering persecution. We even read in the Greeley paper, ISIS threatening even worship in our own community of Greeley and across our great land. Evil thrives. And we see families disintegrating. It seems like the world is just simply falling apart. And sin has just become the norm of life. In fact, many will not even acknowledge that it exists. I'm going to do whatever I please. And don't tell me otherwise, because whatever you believe about sin is ludicrous. But we see our own sins before us as we look in that dirty mirror that has us looking worse every day, that stern law of God. And then we think, well, if Christians don't mourn over all this darkness, then who's going to do that? Who will? If we won't carry the world's heavy burden of sin, then who will? But you know, it's just there, right there, that sin makes us ever so miserable. Right where sin becomes our burden, isn't it interesting? A Christian angel comes. And that angel comes with good news, trumping our desire to carry the burden of our sin ourselves, is the great news that Jesus has actually come to do that for us. He has taken sin seriously. He has carried the full consequences of our sin, dying in our place. And Steve, thank you in your song for bringing that out. And I mean, can we miss it this evening? As we look at this nativity scene, ever since I've been at Trinity, I've been so blessed that we have just an incredible nativity scene. And most people on that day when Jesus was born, they didn't see the beam of the cross coming through the manger. They saw this innocent little babe. And Jesus is innocent. He is without sin. But Jesus, even as a little babe, saw the beam of the cross. He knew why he came. After all, he's the Son of God. He knew that he came, yes, as that little babe in such a humble way in Bethlehem, but he knew that the journey was going to take him to the cross. Why? Because we are not capable of carrying the burden of our sin. It would destroy us in hell for eternity. And it would certainly take the joy out of our lives, the short time we have on this earth. But Jesus came for the purpose of dying. He came to live that perfect life that the law demands that we fail every day. And he came then to go the way of the cross and there face hell, literally. He received the full wrath of God upon himself. Jesus held himself accountable for your sin and for mine and for the sins of all people of all time. He came to take away that burden, to look and act as if we still bear the sins of the world, is really to cheapen his sacrifice and to tarnish his victory. And then we get back to that announcement. What an announcement. This was no ordinary birth announcement that first Christmas. This was a sin-crushing, death-defeating, universal news alert, and it came from an angel from heaven, and the angel put it into context. First of all, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of what? Of great joy that will be for all the people. Now, that's quite a statement in and of itself, but that's just the introduction to what the news alert is. And here is the news alert. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, which we know to be Bethlehem, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. There's the great news. And we are blessed to know that. We are blessed to live in the historical fulfillment of that. We are blessed to look back and hear that amazing account as God has preserved it for all time so that all can hear. And it was news of great joy. And the joy was so contagious, the shepherds, the first to hear the news, they couldn't stop talking about it. Imagine that, pesky, dirty, smelly, stinky shepherds, usually not wanting to be around people. They couldn't stop talking about what they had experienced, what they had heard. It's kind of like a couple that's won the $1 million lottery, or maybe many millions of dollars. And you know, they're thinking, you know, we can't tell anybody. We got to get our act together here. We got to figure out how this is going to change our lives and how we're going to deal with all of this money business-wise, how we're going to invest it. And once we kind of get it together here, then maybe we'll be able to tell other people. But it doesn't work for those close to them. Because they notice there's something about their countenance. There's something about their demeanor. It's like, they're just bubbling up with some kind of news inside, and they can't wait to tell the world of what's happened to them. And then the news spills out, and their lives would never be the same. But that's just for winning a few $1 million, and the money comes and it goes, and money can't buy us joy. Which is a good distinction for us to realize. There's happiness, right? And there's joy. Now, that couple was filled with happiness because happiness is based on circumstances on this earth. But boy, they can be so fleeting. One day you may win $1 million. Next day you may go to the doctor and find out you have terminal cancer. It can change so quickly from just sheer happiness to absolute sadness in just moments of time. But joy is so different. Because joy has its foundation in the package that the Lord has given. His only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus, who came to save us and has accomplished that. The joy God gives to us, in fact, is a gift. It's one of the fruit of the Spirit we hear about in Galatians 5. It is a relational joy that goes way beyond getting rich by winning a lottery. This is joy in the Lord. This is joy that responds to all God is and all that God has accomplished for us. This joy is eternal. It isn't fleeting. It isn't there one day and gone the next, because God isn't there one day and gone the next. God is eternal and He doesn't change. And our joy is embedded in the gift as it is that He gives us. And oh, praise God for the gift of His Son. And so this joy flies in the face of that playwright Ibsen's Julian, who saw Christians as a brooding, sorry lot. This joy shines through the carols of this season. It's shining through us tonight as we sing these wonderful traditional hymns at Christmas. It shines through the Christmas cards that you receive and the wonderful personal messages, but most of all, the message, the good news of Jesus Christ. It shines through our service in the community as we share God's love to others, as we see others who are in need and don't turn the other way and walk away, but we walk to them because we desire to love them and help them any way that we can. It is the joy that even brings tears to our eyes as we ponder how great God's love for us is and what good news God gives us. Unto you this day is born a Savior. You know, I think of the shepherds. They were just giddy about what they heard. I mean, they couldn't wait to go into Bethlehem and find out what was going on there. And they run into Bethlehem. They share with Mary and Joseph and all that they could share with what was going on. And then once they had done that, they leave praising and glorifying God for what they had seen and heard and what God had told them. That's the giddiness. That's the joy that you and I have in our possession. In closing, I heard a pastor one time talk about a living nativity scene, and the shepherds in the nativity scene were just way over the top. I mean, they were running out in the parking lot. They were just shouting with joy and praising God for what had happened. They were emulating the shepherds historically on that day. But shouldn't that be us? Each and every day. Share the joy. It's a gift that will never run out. It's an everlasting gift. And in the world that we live, so many burdened by the weight of the world, what a message we have to share. May they see the joy, dear friends, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in us. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God and the joy He bestows upon us be upon our hearts and minds this night and forevermore. Amen.